Shalom, part two now, that Jewish law. People speak against the law of Yahweh in such a derogatory way, and so we want to correct that. In Amos 6, it says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came." Verse 3, "You that put far away the evil day, and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory," or these days, burgundy chairs, "and stretch themselves upon their couches, and eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall. They chant to the sound of the violin, and invent to themselves instruments of music, like David." Now, there's nothing wrong with inventing instruments of music and playing music, but the way they do it is in the wrong intention or attitude. Amos 8:3, also along with that same line, "And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith Yahweh. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence." And it talks later there about the Sabbath in verse 5. "When will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit?" We're going to be keeping the new year and also all the new moons, not just one of them, but moons plural, on 3/24/2012. 3/24 is the date there, the evening preceding that, and it's a Sabbath day, so Sabbath and new moon. We're not going to postpone the Sabbath just because, or rather the new moon just because, and the new year because it falls on a Sabbath. There's nowhere, no scripture, no permission given in Yahweh's word to postpone a day. Verse 10, 8:10 of Amos, "And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head." Oh, sorry about that. "And will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the day is come, saith Yahweh, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, but not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Yahweh." They can sure say that today in 2012. They could have said that years ago, 2,000 years ago. "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of Yahweh, and not find it. And the fair virgins and young men in that day shall faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, Thy Elohim, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again." And later on we'll be reading from Ezekiel, talking about the abomination in Ezekiel 18. But we wanted to pick up there in Numbers 15:30 today, 15:30 to 36. And let me get my clearer version so I can read it a little better for you. Okay? Here, let me just, put that aside there. Here we go. And see how quickly I can find Numbers for you. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today about the old Jewish law. Supposedly that old despicable law. The Protestant preachers who are not protesting the Catholic Church, they protest Yahweh's law. They that preach that the least of the commandments, so-called, were done away with, they shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. They'll be called that. I don't even know if they'll be there. I don't know whether they will or they won't. It's not up to me. But Numbers, we see the old, poor old Jewish man out here laboring away trying to get some wood, some heat for maybe a little old widow, and he's doing it on the Sabbath day. But yet, Yahweh shows, according to this example here in Numbers 15, Yahweh's esteem, the Heavenly Father's esteem toward the Sabbath, that it is important. He even repeats it over and over. He says, remember the Sabbath, the one commandment that we are given, honor His day, to honor the Sabbath day, that one commandment we're told to remember. Most Protestants are told that we're to forget the Sabbath day. for the venerable day of the sun, for Sunday. Now, there's nothing wrong with just gathering on the first day of the week to praise Him. In fact, that would be a good thing to do, but we should also do it all other days. Yes, but we especially should do it on the seventh day Sabbath and not go out shopping and so forth. But here was what it was in Numbers 15:30. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, whether you're Jewish or not, whether you're Greek or Jewish, yes, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches Yahweh, that soul or body, shall be cut off from among his people, because he has despised the word of Yahweh, and has broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. And the children of Israel were in the wilderness. They found a man, here it is, this poor old Jewish man here in verse 32, that gathereth sticks upon the Sabbath day, or sticks, that word, if you look it up in the concordance or a Hebrew lexicon, that English word sticks, it can be looked up there, and of course it'll be pronounced and spelled differently in Hebrew, but it means not only sticks, but it could be logs. But whether it was a log or a bundle of sticks, what happened? How important? What was the import of the Sabbath day? Well, they found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto the congregation, and, what should they do with him? So all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. So just like sexual immorality, breaking the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not commit fornication or adultery, or you'll be stoned to death, back in the Old Testament government. Well, here it is, the Sabbath day. They were stoned to death for breaking the Sabbath. Numbers 15:35. They shall stone him with stones without the camp. I assumed that he would die, right, if they stoned. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Oh, but that was the Old Testament Jewish God, wasn't it? That was that legalistic father up there that had no compassion for us, that we wanted to keep warm. We didn't have time the day before to gather sticks or gather logs and go out and do some logging on the farm or the property up there. So we had to go out. We had to do it, Yahweh. But I'll tell you, there's Ukrainians. Wherever they live in the world, Ukrainian Sabbath names-keeping believers who will not even allow the refrigerator to run on the Sabbath. They'll sit around in temperatures sub-zero and not ignite a fire. They won't even allow a fire. Some of them will not allow that. I've met them up there at the Slava Church in Portland, in northeast Portland, Slava Church. I met some Ukrainians. It was a Seventh-day Church of God, Ukrainian-type place up there in around 115th and Division or something in the Portland, Oregon area. Some of them believe that much that you should not even drive to assembly, and these women, even in their 90s, were walking through the streets of Portland. Their old legs there you could see go up the sidewalk and up the curb on the Sabbath day, walking a mile to church. Well, that's what they called it, Church of God there, so I guess I could use that term. And so that's how serious it was to them. I admire their stand. I don't totally agree with unplugging the fridge the night before the Sabbath. Mine can only stay cool enough, probably for 6 hours or so, but I don't know how they do that. But if that's what it's supposed to be, then we shouldn't allow any of our equipment to run on the Sabbath. Maybe somebody would say, well, that's being legalistic. That's going overboard about keeping the Sabbath. Well, of course, one interpretation or another, which interpretation are you to go by? Are you to be a little more orthodox or a little stronger about it? Or should we be more lenient about it? Well, probably be a little more cautious, more lenient. I would say they might have a point there. But it's not the intent of the broadcast to prove whether which side is right or wrong. And we don't have the freedom to make up our own mind. But, well, anyway, okay, I can't solve that issue right now. It said in the scripture that he who breaks one commandment breaks them all. That's in the book of James, for example. He who breaks the least of Yahweh's commandments shall be considered least in the kingdom. And you know, we want to magnify Yahweh's law. We don't want to diminish aught from it. We want to magnify his law. Come on, brethren. Come on, sister. Let's not try to scrutinize everything and get it down to that there's hardly anything left to do in the Word. Let's make his law honorable. Let's magnify his law. Not go far beyond what it says to do. Not add to it. No, I didn't intend to infer that. Romans 8:7 says, "For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be." Now let me read that in context. In Romans 8:7. Well, I can't even find after Corinthians. Where did you? Oh, okay. It's yeah. Getting up there in years, and I've had such a battle with lost my wife there, Penny. Yahweh rest her soul. Oh, she's Penny has highlighted this Romans 7 and well, a lot of Romans. Yeah, in red or pinkish. That's nice. She's kind of in a way she's with us today, and in a way in the spirit she's not really aware of things going on. In no way. Romans 8:6 Romans. Yeah, it starts out, therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Yahusha, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, for the law, the Spirit of life, and Messiah, and so on. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, or made full in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, and that was me, even this past week, probably, you know, I didn't willfully sin or anything, but I, you know, and wrong attitude sometimes, it's not good. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Yeah, we get wrapped up in, you know, doing the paperwork, doing the shopping, mixing in with all the commerce out there. But they that are after the Spirit, we mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That doesn't mean you'll keep living to be over 100 years old, though. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, or it's in opposition to Yahweh. For it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. So, do we want to be subject to the law of Yahweh? Yeah, of course, and I have no problem with it. In fact, I like it. I like his law. It would make things a lot better, make the world a better, safer, more pleasurable place to live. There are some restrictions on my lifestyle and my own carnal desires, but anyway, that's not for me to object. Hey, look, I have my needs. I want to, and you're getting in the way with your law, Yahweh. You're stopping me from enjoying life the way I really want to. What are you doing here? Let me be on the throne. Let me say what's right and wrong. Don't go telling me this and that. What kind of a crazy attitude? That's stupid to shake our fist in Yahweh's face and to pour polluted offerings on his altar, to defecate his offering that he gave for us on the tree at Calvary. Oh, he blessed us. He gave us a multitude. He gave us eternal life. He gave us resurrection power and eternal life. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If it be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you, now if any man has not the Spirit of Yahusha, he is none of his. And if Messiah be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Messiah from the dead, so if the Ruach of him that raised up Messiah from the dead dwelleth in you. He that raised up Messiah from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Just as easy as a daisy will come up every year, as a newborn blossom will spring out of a tree, out of that bud. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify or you kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. And then she also highlighted in pink here, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps our sicknesses, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities or sicknesses. Read about the Torah there. We're not subject to the law of Yahweh if we're carnal. So if we're spiritual, then we are subject to the law of Yahweh. We're being under the law, what is that? You know, if we're under the law, the Jewish traditional law, the Talmud, then that might be a bad thing because there's all these restrictions. But if we're under law, Yahweh's law, if I could get my tongue out of the way of my eye tooth there, then we are in complete freedom. We're free from bondage. We're free to keep his law, free to enjoy the blessings of being in Yahweh's kingdom. Enjoy the sunshine and the rain and the latter rain, the Spirit of Yahweh, the physical rain on the earth, watering the earth, making the bringing it forth, letting it to bud out. Let's go back to chapter 6. Okay, Romans 6. Can we do that part later, okay, because that's quite comprehensive. I have to skim through Romans 6 through Romans 14, according to my notes here that I made last night. I can't even remember what I did, but have you ever had that happen? Acts 21, then, specifically, we want to go to these, Acts 21, 22, and hopefully you can enjoy the rest of this broadcast, 15 or 16 minutes in so far, of that old Jewish law, that old, wonderful Yahweh law, the law of Yahweh, the law of Moses. And appreciate if we could get your comments, if you think this broadcast has been encouraging to you, or instructive, or most people think that it isn't. Acts 21:22. We're going to read all the way through 21:22 regarding the Sabbath. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children. Well, circumcision is a healthy thing to do. They ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. And it goes about the vow of purification there. And concerning thee, we are nothing but the keep us the... But that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. So whether or not you want to shave your head and take a vow of this or that, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. But you keep the law. Walk orderly. Don't walk disorderly as the Gentiles, as the Protestants, those are the evolutionists, the abominationists, those who say, oh, that's nothing to gather sticks and to go out logging and on the Sabbath day, go out mowing the lawn or shopping a little bit. After all, we're going to pick up some things for our people on the Sabbath day, so it must be okay to do. The end justifying the means in their mind. The evil justifying the good. They think that they're bringing forth good from evil. But anyway, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they have observe no such thing, except that they keep themselves from things. Now here's about four things here, three or a couple of things. If there's only three or four things that we must do, then I guess it leaves us a lot of freedom there to go out and do other things. save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Oh, well, if that's all I need to do or don't do, I guess that leaves a lot of latitude, a lot of liberty there, doesn't it? So there must have been more than that. Can we have idols before us? Well, according to just that one verse, if we take that out of context with the rest of scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, then I guess we could do about anything. The only things that we're not supposed to do is, keep themselves offering to idols. Okay, we're not supposed to do that one. And from drinking blood or eating it, and from strangled and from fornication. But other than that, I could go out and just, that wouldn't be too good, would it? Then we'll go to the next chapter. I need to go by my marked scripture verse. Yeah, we'll go to 23 verse 1. We started in 21, 22, so if you could read through there, if you haven't done that recently, go through and read verse 23, verse 1 for right now, and then cover the gap that I'm skipping here, try to cover it later. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before Yahweh until this day." He lived in good conscience. You mean he didn't compromise? He didn't deliberately sin? No. Heaven, no. Or Yahweh, no. I would not deliberately go out and sin if I thought, well, if I sin a little bit, if I compromise here and there, look what good it's going to do. It's going to bring people, they'll become more interested in Yahweh's kingdom. If I become carnal and worldly to them, it'll show them that we are on the same page, that we kind of have an affinity with one another, and then they'll say, well, Stefan Yah is all right. He's one of us. So we can go along with him because he believes in all the stuff we do, all that worldly carnal stuff. But the word says in Romans 12, be transformed. Do not be conformed to the world, listening to their type of media, or eating their kind of food, or dressing like they do in a bad way, in an evil way. But no, it says to be conformed to the word of Yahweh. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind, of our spirit, of our heart. Be renewed in our hearts by the word of Yahweh. Which is, it's easy for me to say. It's a lot harder for me to do, especially without Yahweh's help, without his Ruach HaKadosh. I can't do it on my own. Well, I could do a little bit of it, yes, of course, but I can't do it all without him. I can't, but in Messiah, I can do all things through Messiah, which strengtheneth us. I think that's Romans 8 again there. Okay, Acts 24, 14 and 15. 24, 14 now as we move ahead one chapter. 24, 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, and the believers will not call you a heretic if you keep Yahweh's law or keep his separated name. The Protestants possibly will say you're a heretic, that you're a legalist. So after the way which they call heresy, so I praise Yahweh of my fathers. Or it says here in King James, so worship I, the mighty one of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And I also have hope toward Yahweh, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There shall be a resurrection of the dead, the just and the unjust. There shall be, just as sure as the flower comes up from that dirty old earth every year, from the fresh-watered ground, I should say, and blooms and blossoms. I've got here in the second pagan month, I've got, or the 12th scriptural year, I've got some beautiful lilac type of purple-colored flowers. They're about 2 or 3 inches high that are just springing out of the driveway area. They're volunteering out there. Maybe somebody planted them. Maybe my wife did that to kind of leave a sweet reminder of her that every year those flowers are going to come up there and over here. And over here in 26:13 of Acts, 26:13 will be next, that I can be reminded of Yahweh's power to recreate in us. Renew a right spirit, create in me a clean heart, a renewed spirit, and create in me a renewed spirit. Acts. That's good. I caught it just in time there. Okay, 26:13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, about the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and then which journeyed me. So this is journeyed with me. So Paul here explaining how he was, on the road to Damascus here, as I went to Damascus. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew, in the Hebrew tongue, Shaul, Shaul, why do you persecute thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the thorns. And I said, Who art thou, Yahweh? And he said, I am Yahusha, whom thou persecutest. In the King James, it uses the J-E-S-U-S word that's been around for 500 years. But we've looked into that, studied that that's not correct, that there's a better word, Yahusha, as in Joshua. I am Yahusha, whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I am appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of these things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles with whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Yahweh, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are set apart by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem. Almost through with this passage, and throughout all the coast of Yehuda, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to Yahweh and do works meet for repentance, do works made or enabled for repentance. We should, repent. It's okay to do works. That's not adding to our salvation. That's just obeying. That's showing our faith by our works. It's a faith that works. It's not a dead faith if we do Yahweh's work. Now, there's all kinds of other works that man will add. And some are not necessarily from scriptures. Some of the things are, but we don't want to add to his word. That would be adding to his word. That would be in vain, perhaps. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to murder me. Having therefore obtained help of Yahweh, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Messiah should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, that he, Messiah, should be the first that should rise from the dead, and he should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as I change the J-E-S-U-S back into its proper rendition of Yahusha or Yahvehosha, Yahusha or Yahvehosha, that doesn't give me liberty to just change any old word I feel like, and I'm trying to change it back to what I understand from the Hebrew lexicon or the Strong's Concordance, what it correctly should be rendered as, and not some corrupted word like Easter or holy or even the B-I-B-L-E word. I change it back to scripture when somebody would use that. And then about Yom Kippur, chapter 27, the book of Acts talks about when sailing was dangerous. And then chapter 28 of Acts. So chapter 27 even refers 30 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of our heavenly Messiah and mighty one Yahvehosha. So even after that, 30 years after, the emissary of Yahweh, or of Yahvehosha, is still saying that he kept the feasts. And if it were at all possible, he hastened to be at Jerusalem for the feast. He talked about when sailing was dangerous at the end of the summer season, when it was dangerous. Then he, let me see, where is that? I'm using the non-highlighted version, and it's hard for me to pick it up here quickly. But when sailing was, it's in there. When the fast when the fast associated with a dangerous time of year for sailing. You know what I'm trying to get to? If not, well, let's move on here, because I have a specific place to go to, 28:23, to the end of the book of Acts. A few verses there, chapter 28:23, and then I'll pick up possibly later about that truth there about the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, 28:23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Yahweh, persuading them concerning Yahusha, both out of the Torah of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening, or actually from evening to morning, wouldn't it be? Unless he's referring to a specific day, but the day starts at evening and doesn't start in the morning. So from evening until morning. No, that would be all night long. So maybe it was the other way around. I stand corrected. I corrected myself. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some didn't believe. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Shaul, or Paul, had spoken one word, and I quote, "Well spake the Ruach HaKadosh." In other words, the Spirit well spake by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, "Go unto this people and say, ye do not hear, and you shall not understand, seeing you shall see, but you shall not perceive, or you shall not understand. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed." That reminds me of a Seventh-day Church of God there in Springfield, Oregon, I went, or in Roseburg, Oregon, where their ears were closed, the people are wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. They've just been kind of around too long, around society, around those who are lukewarm, or the Laodiceans, the abominators, lest they should see with their eyes and bear with their ears, hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should have healed them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of Yahweh is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now, the Gentiles could possibly refer to those 12 tribes instead of, to the northern kingdom instead of the southern kingdom of the house of Judah or Yehuda. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Otherwise, the word Gentiles there would have only applied to the Greeks. And there, how many were present there where he was at this time in Acts 28? And when he had said these things, the Jews departed, and great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of Yahweh, and teaching those things which concern Yahusha HaMashiach, concerning the Messiah, with all confidence, no man forbidding him, as they would today. By the way, Paul's profession is said to be a tent maker. Probably more accurately, Paul was a tent maker, all right, the tent that you were supposed to wear, the tallit. He probably made tallits with a tzitzi on the end of them, as we are commanded to do, right along with those other laws and statutes that are found there about the feast days and so on, that we're supposed to wear the tallit. But some people say, well, that part has been done away with, and they just pick and choose. Revelation 14:11, we're coming to a time of reckoning. We'll meet the Savior face to face. Will we be ready? Will we be proper in His eyes, in Yahweh's sight? Revelation 14:11 through 13 says, "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name, Well, they make such a big thing about the 666, and we should, but you know about that being the UPC code on a box in the grocery store or a can or something, and about their premillennial rapture theory. But here, you know, they should, and some of that is not true, or most of it, but the rest day, not having a rest day, shouldn't we have one? Hebrews 4, Exodus 20, shouldn't we have a rest day to remember? Deuteronomy 5, to remember that Sabbath day, the day that he set apart there in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Rest day, nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the patience of the true believers. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahusha. We should read the book of the Revelation. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in Yahweh from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, yea, saith the Ruach, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Oh, there you have works again. You're adding to your salvation. No, no, the book of the Revelation, Yahusha the Messiah wrote through John or Yochanan. That's Y-O-C-H-O-N-A-N, Yochanan, or John, that the works follow them. They're good works, not just any kind of made-up works, man-made ideas, but of what Yahweh would tell us in his word, those kind of works that we should at least, the basics, start out with the basics and do his word, and not just ignore it or argue against it or count it as an abomination when actually it's a blessed thing to do Yahweh's works. Revelation 19:6 next, 19 verse 6 through 6 through 9. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallel, for Yahweh the Almighty, omnipotent, reigneth, omnipotent, most powerful, reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has done what? She sat around and played games, video games, and you know, got occupied in the secular media of the world, and you know, it was just fun and games all the time. No, what does Yahweh's wife do? What does the bride do? She made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of Yahweh. The messenger, not Yahusha the Messiah was speaking here, but a messenger of Yahweh, because later we read in the next verse not to worship or not to praise this messenger that was giving John the book of the Revelation to write. So we want to forget about those man-made traditions. Oh, incidentally, in Revelation 6, there's some saints there that are saying, How long, Yahweh? How long will it be? And this is a parenthetical chapter in here. That particular part that refers to how long will it be before Yahweh calls all people to him, to all of his blessed people. And so that could possibly be after the first resurrection, before the second resurrection, okay? But I'm in my unmarked version again, so I can see it better. Eyes are somewhat changing here. I just have to get a new pair of glasses to work here in the study, in Yahweh's praise room. Because the other glasses are all getting too strong for me. I've been taking that carrot juice. Carrot juice makes your eyes get better when it's carrot juice is fresh. And it has nothing at all to do with that old Jewish law. Does it? Oh, no, it doesn't. But I want to go to Ezekiel now and pick up some of the places which we haven't covered yet. Most of that 18th chapter of Ezekiel, E-Z-E-K-I-E-L, is the way the Protestants wrote that in there. Actually, it should be spelled with a Y-L, Ezekiel. And in earlier broadcasts, years ago, I used Ezekiyava. I changed that, and I think I just want to go with the Hebrew here, Ezekiel. Even though the E-L extension on the last part of Ezekiel was possibly from Canaanite worship. The word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, "What do you mean that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, 'The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge,' or they're all crooked and so forth? The fathers have eaten sour grapes. As I live, saith Yahweh, you shall not have occasion any more to use that proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, or the body that sins, it shall die." Well, even if we don't sin, sooner or later we will, but he'll die prematurely. "But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and has not eaten up the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has defiled his neighbor's wife, or has come near to a menstruous woman." So no, we're not supposed to come to our spouse at the time of the woman's, when Mother Nature is visiting her, according to the Torah. "And has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has taken his bread to the hungry, or given it, rather, to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment." And by the way, we don't just give our bread to any old beggar or prostitute, necessarily. In a priority, we give it to those who are closer to Yahweh, first of all. If they are in need, then I wouldn't go out and bless a prostitute or a witch or a necromancer. I would bless Yahweh's people first, ordinarily, depending upon the situation. "He that has not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, has executed true judgment between man and man, and has walked in my statutes, and has kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, saith Yahweh." And then let's to verse 13. "And has given forth upon usury, and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him." And verse 15 there, defiled his neighbor's wife. Taken some woman who was divorced and remarried over once. "Neither has oppressed any, has not withholden the pledge, neither is spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has given the naked with a garment, has given, covered the naked with a garment, that has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury nor increase, has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes. He shall not die for the sins or iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. As for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among the people, even he shall die in his iniquity." Verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And verse 21, "If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, that shall not be remembered, they shall not be remembered. In his righteousness that he has done, he shall live. Have I pleasure at all that the wicked should die?" This is the Son of Yahweh speaking here through the prophet Ezekiel. "Have I pleasure at all in the wicked that they should die?" No, he doesn't take pleasure in that, saith Yahweh. "And not that he should live and return from his ways and live? And when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations and the wicked, shall he live? All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned. In his transgression he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them he shall die." So much for being saved, and then always being saved, no matter what our behavior is. So much for that, because this scripture here, if we apply it consistently with all the other scriptures, New Testament and Old, so-called, no, we just can't harmonize that. That if we deliberately sin and we don't repent, we don't ask for forgiveness, we don't turn from that, then here's the result. We shall die, at least physically here. I don't know about, the judgment, how that's going to work, if we're going to wind up in the kingdom of Yahweh later on or not, if we'll show up there. It's a question. I don't know. And then you tune into Christian radio here in this verse, next verse, and they'll tell you that the way of the Torah is too hard. It is not equal. But it says here, yet you say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? And then if a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and dies in them, his iniquity, he shall die for all his iniquity. Yeah. You'll reap what you sown. They'll come around and get you. Verse 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Now he's speaking to us, to Ephraim, to America. He's speaking to all the northern 10 tribes. O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith Yahweh, repent. I can't repent. Well, yes, if he helps you, you can. Sometimes we can on our own, sometimes we can't, but if it's easy, we could repent. But if he helps us, then you can be sure. If you ask him to give you the power to overcome sin and temptation and all, you'll do it. But it's not by your power, not by your strength, but by the Spirit you'll repent. And it won't be any, it'll be a piece of cake. It won't be a tough thing to do. Turn yourselves from all your transgressions so that iniquity shall not be a ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith Yahweh. Wherefore, turn yourselves from sin. In other words, turn yourselves and live, or live ye. As it's the other way around there, the verb and the noun. Or excuse me. So that's reading there. We have read from Ezekiel 18. It sort of sums up our behavior on this earth, our walk, that we should keep his statutes and judgments, his Torah, Yahweh's Torah. It's not just the law of Moses. It's the law that was given to Moses by Yahweh. Actually, by Yahusha the Son. We can go back to, we can pick up here in the Word. What did we miss? We missed something here earlier I think it was Romans that we skipped through there on the part one. Yeah, Romans 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, no, wait a minute. Okay, we covered Romans 8, verses 6 through 9, and I think we covered Romans 8, 14. But just to make sure, let's read that again. And then we can pick up Acts that we missed there, Acts 27, about the fast. So Romans chapter 8, verse 7, which said about the if we're spiritual, we are subject to Yahweh's law. We're not under it in a matter of being under his curse, under his penalty, because we haven't transgressed his law. So, of course, we're not under the law if we haven't committed sin, if we haven't transgressed his law. So then, in Romans 8, 6 through 9, we did 6 through 9. Okay, no, thank you. But you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, okay? And then verse 14 said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. Okay, that's what I had meant to do, and so we just picked it up and covered it. Then about the fast in Acts 27 and a few other ideas from Acts chapter 27. We're to follow Paul as he followed Messiah. Now, would that also apply, follow Stephania as he follows Paul, as Paul followed Messiah? No, it doesn't mean follow your minister necessarily, or follow Stephania as I follow Messiah, because, maybe I'm not following Messiah in a particular area. So we only need to follow Paul as he followed Messiah, not follow a successor of people going all the way from, you know, this preacher, that preacher, going back 100 years, going back 1,000 years, and so on. No, we just keep it simple and follow Paul as he followed Messiah, or follow Messiah as he gave us all these wonderful words of life, these gems, these jewels, when he makes up his jewels here in the mountain of Yahweh, and they are found in the scriptures, all the way from Genesis to the Revelation. So, Acts 27, at verse 9, this is the Day of Atonement. Speaking of, you can read there in Zechariah, there's also Zechariah 8:19 about a feast there. But now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. So he's talking about the seventh month, the tenth day, the Day of Atonement. When the fast, what fast? There was only the fast, although there was others mentioned there in Zechariah 8. And that word fast is a Greek word, and Strong's number 3521, 3521. The fast was past. So we don't just skim over that and skew over the word fast. There's a meaning to that word and to every word in Scripture. Well, it's not in italics, so it's not added to make sense. It is a word that really does mean something. So then we will go next to, it talks about it's being winter there in verse 12. So Acts 27. And, okay, that's all that I needed to point out to you, is that was during this adventure of Paul here out in the winter, which is the haven of Crete, and so on, where they wintered at this haven. But we're talking about the Feast of Atonement was still being kept 30 years after Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection. Isn't that something? What about his resurrection? Paul said in Acts 24, I think we mentioned in the last part of this broadcast, in part one, "Now I confess unto you that the way which they call heresy, so I praise Yahweh, the mighty one of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And I have hope toward Yahweh, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." There's going to be a resurrection, a time coming, a reckoning time, that we will praise Yahweh in that wonderful time ahead in the future. He said there in the book of Luke, we'll cover that perhaps here in a little bit. First of all, I want to cover a letter that was, it's not a letter, it's on the blog on our website there, yahwehyahweh.name. Let's see if I can quickly get that up. If not, we'll skip it. But let's see, in the blog, okay, I'll type in yahwehyahweh.name. And then on the right, it should be, where's the blogs? Let's see. Oh, the guest book. That's a few entries on my guest book. Let's see if I can. David Mario Nocero from Colombia. Shalom, all came. Yes, my name is David. Recently, I began to study one of the most beautiful and precious languages brought by the Ruach HaKadosh of Yahweh, Hebrew. One of the things I've been looking for is, where can I find software for the first Paleo-Hebrew alphabet? Also, the next Hebrew language, and lastly, the last one, who is called Ivrit, Ivrit, which is the modern Hebrew. So the first Paleo-Hebrew alphabet he was looking for there, for that source, which I probably don't have that available. I'm not what you call that kind of a scholar that has all that research. I might have it, but and I'm sure I do, on the internet somewhere. It talks about the old Hebrew, the original Paleo Hebrews versus the modern Hebrews, thanks to this brother here. One of the things I have proposed to do is to be able to put several studies of the message from Yahweh, as I did with some, for the husband of one of many cousins I have here in Argentina. If you are able to tell me, I truly would appreciate it very much. May, and he uses the W, may, but I'll correct that. May Yava, with his Ahavat, Shimka, and Shalom to you, and if you have, to your entire family. Your brother in Yahusha, in other words. And then he's got his email address there, I see. Okay. Well, I don't know if he wants to make that public, but so there it is. And he says he's Southern Baptist. Okay. Well, you know, I might want to join if they were all like that. That's good. Thank you, David. David Mario. I didn't know that there was that kind of a positive entry there. And that wasn't the one I was thinking of. I wonder where this this blog went. Well, perhaps I can't find it. Let me try quickly here to the archive page, maybe, or Asleep in Messiah. So I'm going to my main home page, and then I'm clicking on the archive and looking at the guest book there, perhaps. A couple of pictures of me, a couple of buttons there for the email. View entries. Okay, this is the Sabbath. That's a year old. Here's the place to request more programs. More Higher Ground with Bill Houston, or more old-fashioned preachers. And I mentioned David Cloud there from Sermon Audio. He has kind of an old-fashioned style. Well, that's not the guest book entry that I wanted. So, yeah, I think I'm... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, we go up to the top of my main web page. My main web page, yavayahweh.name, and we click on blog, B-L-O-G, and then it says, it explains how to do the blog and all, and then there's comments, so you scroll down, yeah, there's pictures of me, you can ignore that, hopefully. Here's a comment placed last year. Let's see, no, that's not the one, about the steering wheel. Where did that, well, I was told there was a blog on here, I can't find it. What's this one say? Our attitude is best shown behind the steering wheel. Although attitudes change in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s to the present time, where people are noted for their road rage. Previously, it was not as well pronounced. It was not that big of a thing. Violent movies influence weak, impressionable minds. So the media, in other words, is not good for weak minds or for strong ones either. Recently, one person was murdered, a Eugene, Oregon policeman, because of this road rage. Previously, he had protected her, the murderer who ran him down. He was on a motorcycle. Previously, he had protected me, and residents, and even his own murderer by being a policeman. I pray that you are a good influence on all of those you see, on fellow commuters, drivers, and citizens. Let us wake up from our Laodicean lukewarmness and become alert in Messiah. And we need to walk in the Spirit, in other words, be conscientious of Yahweh's word, well, circumspectly. May our Savior protect you from all dangers. He grant us mercy, peace, shalom. And may Yahusha, with great shalom, bless us. So that's still not the the one. But anyway, on a blog or an entry there somehow or another, somebody had mailed us and saying that the V in Yahweh or the W in Yahweh was not really the issue. The issue was the A or the E. And then he left no proof whatsoever. And he criticized me and said that I was wasting my time on this and that he'd have to labor through the broadcasts in order to get the answer. And he didn't know if that would be worth laboring through all of that. So, yeah, so much for him anyway. Here, let me try just one Yahweh or Yahweh. Let me click on that there on the top navigation bar. And it says it's waiting. Well, we can't wait. Why should it be more than a few seconds? Okay, email, da-da-da-da-da. Huh, I don't even see a blog on that page. Okay, about back. How about where the name Yeshua came from? I'll go to that page. I think it was on there. It's got to be there. Well, it is, but I'm not able to quickly find it. And that's enough. I'm not going to waste your time as I try to find this stuff on there, but I'm sure it's in there somewhere. Okay. Well, sorry about that, brother, that you have a problem with those studying Yahweh's name. It's not a waste of time to study Yahweh's name. Where did the name Yeshua come from? Where did the name Yeshua come from? Where did the name Yahvehosha and Yahosha come from? These are all important things. It's not to be taken lightly that he said in the book of Acts, Yahosha inspired the writer of the book of Acts to say that it was important. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name, not referring to pronunciation necessarily, but whosoever call in his name. What if he was a deaf or a blind person? What if he was mute? How could he call in Yahweh's name? But he could call in him through his spirit, their person's heart, through their desire, calling on the name of Yahweh. How you spell it is important. How you say his name, let's not just take that as such a light matter. So we've been here for a little bit over an hour, so it's time to wrap up this particular file and broadcast, and I sure thank you for joining us, being with me. You could write me an email if you wish at StephanYah@YahvehYahweh.name. StephanYah@YahvehYahweh.name. Finishing up here by going to the book of Luke in the 12th chapter. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. Verse 36, you yourselves like unto men that are waiting for Yahweh, or for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he cometh, shall find you watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and shall come forth and serve them. So Yahweh the Messiah, or Yahusha the Messiah, is making them to sit down to eat with him at supper. The marriage of the Lamb, the supper of the Lamb. Make them to sit down at meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, that is at 9 o'clock at night, or come in the third watch, that would be at 12 a.m., and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and had not suffered his house to be broken through. It's good to be well armed against physical prowlers and murderers. But be therefore ready also. So that's the best part of this whole rendition here, in Luke 12:40. Be therefore ready, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you think not. It says also that you'll not know the day or the hour that he comes, but you know, you could know the time, the seasons. You can know the seasons, probably even the month and the week, but you can't know the hour or the day. Because, for one thing, if Yahweh were to come back on the Feast of Trumpets in the year 2030 or 2033 or at any other year, that we wouldn't know when the Feast of Trumpets is going to be until we see the first crescent of the new moon. So how could one know the day or the hour? Well, one couldn't until it came to be when the crescent of the new moon were showing. But, so much for the theories of man and Harold Camping and so forth. Yahweh forgive him for setting dates. But anyway, we're closer to the And then the apostles were, then the great emissaries of Yahushua the Messiah were to that second coming of our heavenly Messiah and Creator. Says he is the Creator in Colossians 1, in one of many places. Thanks for joining me here on this broadcast about that old Jewish law, on YahvehYahweh.name. Hallel, praise to Yahweh, Maranatha, may Yahweh and Yahushua, through Yahushua the Son, the Messiah, may he come quickly.